part of the Brahman, you never talk about the Maya. Understand? So, we see there's no way of arriving at Nirgunam Brahma without understanding Sagunam Brahma.
But I'm just wondering.
Then you say, why should we arrive at Nirgunam Brahma at all?
Yes.
Do you want to say that?
Yes.
In fact, when you understand Nirgunam Brahma, ultimately, then only you can appreciate Sagunam Brahma also. Yes. So to understand the one to the other. Always Brahman is with Maya means, see, you cannot talk about the Maya when it is not manifest.
Yeah, but Maya didn't suddenly appear, did it?
No, it's not suddenly appearing, but it's always there.
That's what I'm saying.
It's always there. But that Maya, see, Maya is as good as non-existent if it is not manifest. It has to manifest only. Understand? And even for it to, even if it is manifest. So, unmanifest Maya is as good as non-existent.
I'm very happy with it.
Okay, as good as non-existent. And then, so, when the Maya is manifest, it has its existence. And even when it is manifest, in the manifest Maya, it becomes existent only when consciousness is manifest in Maya. See, Brahman is dependent on Maya for its manifestation.
Correct.
Maya is dependent on very Brahman for its very existence.
Yes.
Okay. That is why you have to understand that two completely tamav prakashavati viruddha dharma. Okay. Complete diagonally opposite nature, they both. Which means one has dependent existence, when you say it is as good as non-existent, Petaji. But what we say, even though we talk about this Maya, even yesterday was talking about this Maya, this power in the class. See, this is not Brahman is always with the Maya means. Then when Brahman means Maya is there definitely. Understand? But you cannot talk about, there are two different things, only one, Brahman alone. But you don't need to talk about sun and its light. Sun is means sun's light is, isn't it? But you don't need to talk about sunlight as something, sun is always with the light, you don't need to say that. Sun is always with its light, you don't need to say it. Sun is means, sun alone is with its own glory of light. You don't need to talk about light at all. Yes, sun is finished. So you don't need to say Brahman is with always Maya. You don't need to talk about it. It is not something separable.
So what is...
you can always say, Brahman is always with the Maya when you say, only if it is something separable, a different entity, you can say like that. When it is not a different entity at all, okay, you have to say what? Sun alone is. Like Brahman alone is. Brahman alone is sadeva saumya idam agre asit. Sadeva asit means, what does it mean? Brahman alone was.
But when we talk about Nirguna Brahman, it is Brahman without...
It's all for understanding, Pitiji. It's all for our assimilation and clarity, ultimately to say that I is not there. Only I has to be resolved in consciousness. There's no such a thing called I independently or something concretely sitting apart from Brahman consciousness. There's no such thing called wave apart from the water. Isn't it? But you do talk about this wave and all its achievements and things. But really speaking, is there really wave? No, there's only water. That is what you have to arrive at finally. Only then your problem resolves. We are interested in, that's why you have to be always conscious of what am I doing this for. All this I was thinking, okay. Genuinely, people want peace and happiness. So this way people yesterday, you talk about all these people go here and there seeking something. and trying to understand with their own limitations. They only adore a person who can do lot that and this and thus. They really do not see. One must be highly sharp and brilliant to see, to understand the problem, Peterji. What is that really, really makes me? My problem is the smallness and inadequacy of inadequacy, insecurity centered on I. That is the problem. We cannot even understand the problem. Where is the question of solving the problem? That is why we all have problems. We do not see the problem. Having the problem is natural, isn't it, Ranaji? But seeing the problem is something different. Once you locate the problem, then you can think of solving the problem. Actually, we do not really understand, this is the problem I have. If this problem is solved, I'm free otherwise. Really speaking, anything, any behavior in the world, any happening in the world, any situation in the world, anything which affects me, afflicts me, it really triggers the pain in me means, it is basically because of this problem. And this is the fundamental problem. This is the roga. This is the bhava, the roga, this is actually. And this is inevitable once you are born. The very birth itself is because of this problem. And once you are born, this problem is very much there. It's like that. And this problem has, if the problem, this problem is solved, and you see there is nothing, there is no problem at all. All other so-called problems which you think will resolve, if this is the problem here, okay, this one problem will resolve. And for which you need to, what you need to do this, one needs to really see, that there is no I other than consciousness, apart from consciousness. But relatively there is I. Absolutely there is only consciousness. Which means, and when you understand this, there is nothing, that correct, right understanding, ascertainment of that, the truth of I being consciousness, helps you arrive at the truth of everything being consciousness also, every I being consciousness also. That is why you say, Madatma Sarabhutatma. Isn't it? And that's the problem. People don't see the problem, Peterji. And whatever, these people always go for different problems. That is why Vedanta is not for everybody. Vedanta is not for the crowd. Vedanta is for a very, very highly mature person who can accept the very problem. How can you accept? This is the problem for you to understand. No, accept it. You must understand this problem, isn't it? So Shastram, all Vedanta Shastra Shravanam for so many days really helps you understand this fundamental problem, that this inadequacy and smallness centered on I, that is the problem. And only you understand the problem, only you can accept the problem. Only you accept the problem alone, you can make effort to resolve the problem. And resolving the problem implies the pursuit of knowledge and accomplishment of knowledge. That is why Vedanta will never attract the whole society, whole jagat. Vedanta is for a very few, very, very few handful of very people who have guts to face this situation. People are not interested. Again, resolving the ahankara means losing one's very identity. Peterji, is a very painful thing. Vedanta Jnanam is not an easy thing. Losing one's identity, is a painful thing. Very painful thing. You can't hold on to anything here. Losing your identity means what? Not an easy thing. Very frightening thing as well. For immature person, frightening and very painful. You have to understand two things here. That is why always Swamiji gives this, give the example of this, Vivekananda. Chidmananda used to tease people actually. People come and ask these gurus like this. They all think something, moksha means some self-realization, or anything means some sort of a big flash, something which happens. They come and ask, Chidmananda, I remember very well, I was very young, I used to sit in front of him. Vivekananda went to Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, and Paramahamsa touched him in the right side of his chest, and immediately he had instantaneous ecstasy. And isn't he a guru? Is it by touch also one can give the vision? What does it study Shastra? You know? And Swamiji said, you are not Vivekananda, I cannot be Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. And he used to tease people like that. And then, are you Vivekananda? For me to touch you and give you instantaneous ecstasy. And then, it's all won't work, isn't it? And when he also tells us, when Vivekananda, Paramahamsa touched Vivekananda, and he had that instantaneous ecstasy, maybe Paramahamsa, maybe he was a mystic of very high order, and really a person reveling in the vision of the truth all the time, because he has lots of pasiddhis. He might have been able to give that. He might have been able to, don't deny, don't say no. He might have been able to give that vision to Vivekananda. But and then Vivekananda also, I mean, maybe was really of a student of that standard, that who could have such a vision. But what happened, when he touched, and he could not really, he got very frightened, you know, that he wanted to come back. He requested Paramahamsa, please bring me back to my, you know, old state. He couldn't stand it, because where one loses one's identity, you need the identity. Every time you lose the identity, it's very frightening. You see, unconsciously you lose your identity in death, therefore there's no fear. Before death there is a fear, because the fear is in fact fear of losing your identity. After death you don't have fear. Why? Because unconsciously you lose your identity. In sleep also there's no fear, because you lose identity unconsciously. You are not aware of your identity being not there, isn't it? But in jnanam, you lose your identity consciously. It needs a lot of guts. It's not an easy thing. That is why preparation is not only the mental purity and steadiness. Preparation, that's why vairagyam is so much discussed. That is why people, vairagya means, there's some people, you talk about this, some naga sadhus and all that in Himalayas. They're so rude and rough and then crude, and they had no sympathy or empathy for anything, you know. The aspirants of jnana. But there's no compassion, no empathy, no sympathy, no kindness, very rough people. That's why they talk like rakshasas. But you can't, my God, we are used to. Oh, Shastra person, Shankara all the time, like his eyes are like this. You know, we've been exposed to Shankara's teaching, and you can't imagine that rough people walking like with all frightening malas and things, the jatas and the dirty clothes, and then the way they walk. Are they spiritual people? You can't even understand. Isn't it all rough? And then there are serious yogis. So India has all sorts of things. It is not practical, isn't it? They had to really ruin their lives and ruin the normal way of life and things. And that's different. That is why for Saumya, Saumya means a pleasing and pleasant, isn't it? For Saumya, Saumya Jivanam, isn't it? For the everything pleasant, you don't rub against the nature. They live with the nature and don't come swim against the current. Live naturally, one has to grow and come to this, isn't it? The natural growth, naturally one has to come to this means it takes ages, it takes time. That is why every janma should be lived properly. But not to accomplish moksha in this janma itself. Of course, one can accomplish in this janma itself. Even if you don't accomplish moksha in this janma, see that the whole life is lived very carefully. The next life will have a lot of punyam. The life will be life of pain-free life. Then, and also the preparation for there's a maturity, you'll be maturing. the more every janma should be, you know, for a mental maturity. Ultimately, you know, and there'll be a time, and then also you attain moksha. Isn't it? See, definitely your future pleasure and happiness is very much dependent on how you live this janma. If you do something wrong today, definitely you have to face tomorrow. You have to, you can't escape that pain. That is why if you do something wrong today, you have to answer for that, you have to pay for that. That is what the teaching is all about, isn't it? It's all for preparation. That is why whole way of life, and then it is wherein everything is brought in and the life is celebrated, everything like that. There's different, in India, so many ways of things, Pitaji. What I'm saying, the preparation implies the vairagyam. Vairagyam itself is not an easy thing. People say vairagyam, vairagyam, yeah, I'm not interested in that, I'm not interested in this, I really hate people who are interested, I'm not interested in that. But still, there's who are interested in so many things. Relatively, you may be more dispassionate than others who are highly passionate about things. People who are relatively you may be more dispassionate, but you are not absolute, you are not adequately dispassionate. Understand? Therefore, so all dispassion and the qualification is not simply antakarana shuddhi, naishchalya means what? Not just the naishchalya is not something that easy, Pitaji. You know? Not simply, that's why we need Bhagavan's grace a lot. Even meditation, upasana, all those things are for really tapping Bhagavan's grace. To become required, to have required qualifications. Study is one side, that's a different thing. I understand that people always come and complain. I understand everything is clear, but really it doesn't help me. I don't see any benefit here. I take so long, and I forget all that I learn. Yesterday somebody was asking me in the class, everything is very nice, Swamiji, when you teach in the class, very nice, we understand very clearly, do understand. But when something happens, we do react, and then we don't seem to be making all this knowledge. People come and ask all these things. Then they lose interest also. It's all simply for studying. It's not practically, it's not helpful at all. To come to the conclusion, that is why in Veda, one thing, Purusharatha Nischaya is one thing, Pitaji, very important. First lesson one has to have. Apart from Purusharatha Nischaya, what has to become immediately next thing, what has to become clear is my fundamental problem. It is not just my fundamental problem, it is a common human fundamental problem. Okay, when you understand this problem has to become very clear. People have problems, people do not see the problems. Having problem is not the solution, isn't it? But seeing what the problem is alone will help you to find a solution. This problem is there. This is my problem. And all my problems are basically caused by this problem. This is the cause, root cause of all my other problems. The so-called problems of life's whole, all problems, if you analyze very well, this is my problem. The fundamental problem, can you highlight this? Like how you, I taught Purusharatha Nischaya, you really made very clear. This fundamental problem has to become very clear. When this problem is very clear, you know, then the solution is solving this problem. The solution is that I have to, discover really. In discovering the solution, in attaining the solution, what is lost is my very identity. You know, losing an identity, Peterji, losing identity, there will not be pain if you think the identity with something small is lost. Identity with something limitless isn't it, attained. But that you can't, and then it's something incomprehensibly difficult problem for you. Now, I lose my identity with something small, but I at the same time, how? I can manage this loss only, I won't be afflicted by this loss, only I recognize that my identity is with what? Something limitless. But limitless means there again, all the differences resolve, isn't it? And that is something which is not acceptable for a simple, small mind, because the mind is not ready, prepared enough to accept such a big thing. It's too much for us to have that, you know. It's like me. If you give me some 100 pounds or 200 pounds, I'll be very happy to 20 times I can count and keep in my. Give me, suppose, 100 million pounds. I don't even know how to count and then how to keep, and then I'll lose. Really, it is too much for me to handle. There should not be leap in any achieving anything. There should be 10 pounds to 50, 50 to 100. If I go, I can manage. Or 100 to 1,000 dollars is okay. 100 to 10,000 dollars is okay. 100 to million is too much. Isn't it? There should not be leap anyway. That is why always go little by little. In Tamil we say, Siruha Katti Perugavaal. You know, always start with something small and making it little bigger, make it little bigger, make it little bigger, and grow like that. Sudden growth, sudden leap in any achievement will make a person go mad. You would have seen even ordinary people when they suddenly, the paupers, they become rich also, the new rich people, they can't manage, they can't handle, because his mind is something, you know, they can't handle. That's why the mind, that's the mind's problem that is. That is here also, losing the identity with something, you know, small, a time bound, isn't it? And then after all, and because this small, through which you really, this body, the upadhi, which are endowed with the body mind's complex, you know, affect towards it is such a great thing. Because you suddenly, the whole world is relatable for you. And the whole world has its meaning only with reference to this body-mind complex, isn't it? And then the whole enjoyments, all accomplishments, everything else, the worldly accomplishments for you, the very life is, you know, possible only with reference to this body-mind complex. And losing identity with that is not an easy thing. But it is possible only when you recognize the next fact. I'm losing identity with the small. That does not mean I'm losing my identity. In fact, I'm having the right identity of something, you know, inexplicably big, incomparably big, isn't it? And there must be 100% Shraddha. Brahmasti isn't something abstract. Because losing identity with the small, something tangible, isn't it? But now, and later on, identity with something big means, limitlessly big means, intangible. And again, it is not digestible for the mind, very abstract. These are the small points which people miss in even 3 years course and 5 years course. You get what I'm saying? Therefore, here, actually, I'll be very happy in our website or your articles you write. The fundamental problem has to be really analyzed well, understood well, and it has to be discussed well, because that is what really will make people appreciate the significance of Vedantic teaching. It's not simply, first we say what you want is happiness and peace. Yes, you know, the Purusharthan is Chaya. And for which something to be discovered, and for which you need, Shastram helps, serves as a means of knowledge. And so study Shastram to discover that. And even to study Shastram, if you think, how can study of the Shastram will help me discover fullness and happiness, peace? If we don't trust, as we say, you make use of it so that you will get it. If you don't, no, without making use of it, you cannot question whether it works or not. So make use of it. People trust and then people do that. Really speaking, they had to. How does Vedanta Shastram help you discover that peace and happiness? Not by really helping attain it. It only by helping resolve your problem. Resolving the problem is, fundamental problem is, in fact, discovering that fullness which is already there. Vedanta does not help you attain anything, really speaking. It helps you resolve your problem. the fundamental problem. You get it? That is why...
This will draw back to this whole question that we started off, which is nirguna.
Yeah, that is why... And in solving the fundamental problem, Peterji, to be frank, you are not talking about all these discussions are only for understanding. To be frank, there's just nirgunam brahma. There's only brahma. We don't even say nirgunam or sagunam. There's just a brahma. Brahma asti means... Okay, Brahma Asti means Nirgunataya Brahma Asti. Nirgunataya Brahma Asti. What about Sagunam? There's an Sagunam Brahma. When you talk about the glory of Brahman, you attribute to Sagunam. You say, oh, Brahman is Sagunam Brahma. It's like there is light. Light is what? How light is? Light is just without any glorifications. Okay. But no, later we talk about the glories of the sun. Yes, later to arrive at the light, we talk about the glories of the sun. And later from the standpoint of the sun, there is nothing. Understand? Similarly, Brahman also, you talk about Maya, and Brahman is always endowed with the Maya, only Sagunam Brahma. You talk about the Maya at all to arrive at the actual Brahma, there are not two different things. Maya and Brahman are not two different things. For you to say Maya Sahitam Brahma is not necessary. Brahma Asti means it Maya Sahitam only. Light is means effulgent only. Light only. There is no such thing. Because you need to say, if there is a Maya Rahitam Brahma, then you have to say there is a more Maya Sahitam Brahma and Maya Rahitam Brahma.
Yeah, but Maya Rahitam Brahma is called Nirguna.
Not Maya Rahitam.
Then?
There's no such thing called Maya Rahitam.
Exactly.
Okay? That is why Sahitam you don't need to say. It's only initially, Pitaji, initially to understand you have to talk about it. Brahma Asti means Maya is also there. Okay, Maya means Brahman and Maya are not two different things. For you to say Sagunam Brahma.
But all the time we hear Brahman together with Maya, or Brahman and Maya together is called Saguna Brahman, is called Ishwara, is called all
Peterji, what I'm saying, Brahma Asti means it is enough. If you say Suryaha Asti means, you don't need to say sun with the light is there. Do you need to say that? Sun is means light is. It's not something, it's a separable entity. When you say Brahma Asti, Maya is there. It's not something separable. Brahma Asti is enough. You don't need to talk about Nirgunam or Sagunam. When you say, when to arrive at that Brahman, you talk about Nirgunam and Sagunam, etc. Okay? And what is that Sagunam, really speaking? You understand the whole Jagat you talk about. Like, to arrive at the light, you talk about the illumined, opaque things and all that. Like that, the whole Jagat you talk about. And this Jagat has its existence. You know, because Jagat is manifestation of the power of knowing of the Brahman. Isn't it? Without this Jagat, otherwise the Jagat cannot, Jagat is not created or touched by Brahman, isn't it? Brahman, Jagat is always there. The matter is always there, undergoing changes, enjoying its own glories. But it really speaking, this Jagat, this material universe, will be as good as non-existent, if it is not known. Therefore we say, and what is that which brings this Jagat to existence is power of Maya, the power of knowing. And therefore, the power of knowing, because of which the Jagat shines, and Jagat has the status of being existent, and that Maya, you know, later on we say, okay, that is the power is Sagunam. We say that. Really, you want to understand. Once you arrive at Brahman, arrive at consciousness, just the consciousness, you know, then later on, you resolve everything. You just say Brahma Asti. You don't need to talk about Nirgunam or Sagunam. It's all for finally arriving at consciousness, the only substance. Understand? The thing is, there's tangible grass matter, isn't it? And then which is also obtaining intangibly, form of energy, etc. That matter has no mention, cannot be mentioned and discussed at all, minus consciousness. That is what we are talking about, all ultimated to arrive at that Brahman only. In fact, you had to arrive at the light, means Pitiji. You had to arrive at the light. And for which talk, you have to talk about this, the opaque world of objects. And how opaque world of objects is there. Light is there. Completely two different things, isn't it? Light is not opaque world of objects. You know, opaque world of objects, minus without the light also, something completely different in our understanding, isn't it? But to be frank, the opaque world of objects has no existence independently. Without referring to sun, there is no such thing called opaque world of objects at all. Why? Because it will be unknown, minus light. Unknown means as well as non-existent. Even it has the now, it is referred to, it is discussed because it enjoys some status of existent.
But doesn't that work the other way as well, Swamiji? Because there's no the consciousness is as good as non-existent, you can say, without being manifest. Consciousness without being manifest.
When a consciousness is not manifest, you will not be there.
Exactly.
So there's no, who is going to discuss? The question is, only when you are there, you are the one who is discussing about the world, discussing about the, isn't it? When consciousness is not manifest, nothing is there, which means you yourself are not there. So where is the question of discussion? You can talk about who is the one who is discussing. When for you to be there, isn't it? For you to be there and to be able to discuss things, there must be what? There must be what?
Manifesting medium and consciousness.
Manifestation of consciousness.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Manifesting medium.
Yeah, so that's why you don't need to talk about now consciousness is not manifest means you don't need to talk about it at all. Consciousness is not manifest means you are not there for you to discuss, for it to discuss. When you are not there, the Jagat is not there.
But then isn't that then, you know, that's why I ask, why, what is the value of the Nirguna Brahman?
Because we don't need to talk about Nirguna Brahman.
You're not there, Jagat is not there, you're not there, what's the point of it?
As an individual, when you are there, for you to, now when you are there, a suffering individual, you are here now, a suffering individual, and are seeking solution for many problems, and asking questions, because your head is really, isn't it, troubled with doubts. If there's a head without doubts, and no problem at all, then these questions will not arise. You are here. You are here. If you are not there, where is the problem? Tell me. You are here. That's why there's a problem. That is why, for you are here means consciousness is, isn't it? You are here means consciousness is. That is why you don't need to. Consciousness is not dependent. Without manifestation, consciousness is comfortable. Understand? Being manifest as a consciousness is okay. But the only thing is, as a thinking individual, and you ask this question, what is here, what is happening here around? Isn't it? That is why we say, for understanding purpose, we say Sagunam Brahma, Nirgunam Brahma, Brahma Asti, all these things. Really speaking, Maya is all, like, sun is always with the power of illumining. Do you need to say this? Sun is means power of illumining is. Yeah, why don't you sit comfortably? Chair la. Nalla ukkarunga. Anga saanjikku onnume illa. Go and lean on that. Appadi nalla saanji kaal neetikkunga ya. Adu nalla sauramaa ukkarunga. Nalla saanji ukkarunga ya. Come.
No, I won't be facing you then.
You can sit comfortably. Yes, can you imagine? Suddenly you feel very warm, isn't it? You should keep the windows open.
There's draft through this one. Quite a lot of draft coming through there.
You don't need to talk, you don't need to say at all. You don't need to say at all. Sun with light is there. Sun with illumining power is there. Always sun is with illumining power. Sun is means illumining power is. You don't need to mention it. Sun is enough. Brahma asti. You don't need to see maya sahitam brahma asti. Sagunam brahma asti. It's all for understanding, Pitiji. Sagunam, nirgunam, it's all for understanding.
Yeah, but fine, in that case, you know.
Because something subtle, something abstract, that is why you have to show all these things. You have to talk about the inseparability. Inseparability, I talk about. That is why I talk about at last you have to say not to and all that. Advaitam, etc. Understand?
It's a matter of really understanding really these things. You see, when you say sun, illuminating power of the sun, inseparably together, etc., that is given as an example, and you've given the example of water, the stillness of water is what manifests as wave. It's not the water which changes, the stillness of water which manifests as wave. And the stillness of water, undifferentiated and unmanifest in the stillness of water, is every single wave, ripple, etc. Unmanifested, undifferentiated in Brahman's potential to manifest, Maya, Shakti, is the whole Jagat. So these are given as stillness of water, you say there cannot be stillness, there's no, you can't separate the stillness.
Yeah.
But what is water with, you know, what is the meaning of water without either stillness or wave, do you know what I mean, or any of its manifest form, there is no utility in an idea of water without stillness or without wave or without ripple or without all the various.
Of course, that is the truth. That is the fact about this.
Yeah.
That's the fact.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So you know, similarly, there's only one utility of Nirguna Brahman when actually all we need to know is that actually it resolves into.
See,
Maya.
We can use the terms if we like. That is a different thing. But actually speaking, it's all for ultimately arrive at the fact, truth, that's all. When I want to say effulgent sun. Fine, no problem. You can say that. But really speaking, effulgent sun means it's exaggeration of the expression. Exaggerated expression, because light is the sun, effulgent sun means the sun is effulgent, isn't it? You can say that, no problem.
But is effulgent is guna? I just want to ask, is this understanding of what is guna correct? Is effulgence a guna of sun?
Swarupam, yeah.
It is a guna.
Huh?
Is effulgence a guna?
From the standpoint of effulgence, it's a guna.
Say that again.
The standpoint of the effulgence, the effulgence can be seen as the guna of the sun. Guna means what, Prajiti? Surupam, so nature.
That's what I'm saying. You see, these are the terms to understand. What is exactly guna? You know, a function seems like a quality or attribute, guna, that's how I understand the word guna, of something called a sun. And you, as you say, it is the inseparable quality. Without this quality or effulgence, there is no such thing called sun. Sun and effulgence are the same, you know, inseparable.
Yeah.
But yet, my understanding of the word guna.
That is why when we talk about these three gunas, Pitaji, three gunas we talk about, really speaking, people make such a big confusion about all the gunas, isn't it? Make such a big thing about gunas. What are the three gunas? Three gunas are names given to manifestation of the threefold powers. The three powers,
Jnana, Kriya,
three powers manifest are known by the term of gunas. So you see the manifest powers.
So is guna only from the point of view of manifestation? When you say saguna, it's only from the point of view.
Yeah.
So nirguna, sun, could be together with maya, and as long as maya is unmanifest, that
nirguna.
Brahman with unmanifest maya
is nirguna.
Is nirguna. But we say Brahman together with maya is Ishvara saguna.
Yes.
But then what does
that mean? That is understanding, Pitaji. It's only for understanding, purpose.
But it's confusing purpose.
No. It should confuse. It should confuse. See, when in discussion, see, the very discussion happens where? Nirgunam Brahma or Agunam Brahma? Tell me. The very discussion is possible only in Sagunam. Everything is Agunam only. Ishvara. Yeah. But we are talking about ultimately what we need to arrive at is this Sagunam Brahma, what we see as Sagunam Brahma is only Brahma.
Okay, and that Brahma, together with its potential to manifest.
It is, isn't it?
Never without its potential.
We are going from lower level, from Saguna to.
When
does Brahman ever not have his potential to manifest?
Never. Surely the point is you're trying to insist on a separate reality for Brahman.
Pitaji, Sagunam when you say Pitaji.
I'm not trying to insist on a separate reality. But when is Brahman ever without his potential to manifest?
Pitaji.
So Brahman is always Ishvara.
No.
Why?
No.
Yes, Ishvara is always Brahma. Ishvara is always Brahma. Understand? That's okay. Ishvara is always Brahma. What is Ishvara? The manifest Brahman is Ishvara, which is Sagunam. Okay? Brahman unmanifest is Nirgunam. Brahman manifest is Sagunam. Brahman unmanifest is Nirgunam. Really speaking, we only talk about the standpoint of being manifest and unmanifest. No, you call Sagunam and Nirgunam. To be frank, just Brahman is. Brahma asti sada. Okay.
Well, okay, well, this is the first point. Mm. A very clear statement. Brahman manifest is Saguna. Mm. Brahman unmanifest is Nirguna. Mm. We always talk about Maya as unmanifest, undifferentiated potential to manifest.
That is true. You know, Maya manifest is Jagat.
Exactly.
Jagat unmanifest is Maya.
Yeah, so Maya is always there.
Maya, that is why it's a power. See, Pitaji, in the presence of the...
Maya as a power is not called a guna.
Huh?
A power is not called a guna.
Pitaji, to understand the concept of Ishvara, we talk about, there you say, Maya Sahitam Brahma Ishvaraha. Okay? When the Maya, the potential, with this unmanifest potential. Okay? Which means, there is potential to point out, we talk about the word Ishvara. Okay? Later what do you say? And subtle manifestation, you say, you know, Hiranyagarbha. Then gross manifestation, the same Maya. Again, gross manifestation, in a total manifestation, we call it Virat. Isn't it? Really speaking, all the three are ultimately what? Brahma. Understand? the Ishvara status, Pitaji, you lend the, see, it's like illuminator status is given to the sun. What do you even talk about the illumining power? Separate the, you separate, how do you say, see, sun is there, sun, standpoint of the sun is not the Lord of opaque world of objects. From the standpoint of the sun is not the Lord of the opaque world of objects. Okay, from the standpoint of the opaque world of objects, you know, this Lord of the opaque world of objects is sun. Okay, Lord is a status attributed to the sun. From which standpoint? The standpoint of this illumined world of objects. And how do you say, why do you say that, why do you give that attribute status of being the Lord of world of opaque world of objects? Why do you attribute to sun? Because of its illumining power. Understand? If the power, you suppose the sun does not have illumining power, then the sun will not have the status of being the Lord. So it's only a relative expression, isn't it? Relative status, Pitaji. Ishwarattvam, sagunattvam. Okay, sagunam brahma asti, when you say the sagunattvam, you nothing wrong with sagunam brahma. The sagunattvam is only from the standpoint of
manifestation.
Only from the standpoint of the universe. Understand? Otherwise, you can say sun always has the illumining potential if you say that is that we don't. That potential will be not be discussed if there is no opaque world of objects. It's only to arrive at what the sun is. Later on, you can say, after arriving at it, no, always sun has illumining power, if you want to say. That's okay, you can say that. There's nothing wrong. But it is not something different. Understanding sun is understanding illumining power as well. Are they two different things?
No, but
you can say Suryaha Asti, finished.
We always
don't say Prakashavan Suryaha Asti, you don't need to say.
But see, there's one thing which you say, yes, I understand this, what you're saying, mm-hmm. from the point of view of the manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Even from the point of view of unmanifestation, you still talk about potential, the power, Shakti.
We talk about the unmanifestation. To arrive at the manifestation, we start off with the manifested word.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Once we arrive at the once
there is no. Power, that is why the very word Maya is used, Pitaji, because there is no such a thing called power other than sun. Ya, ma, sa, Maya. Apart from sun, they are not two different things. Consciousness and the power of knowing are not two different things. Like sun and power of illumining are not two different things. Of course, you are saying, what you are saying, Pritchi, is right. I am not saying no. Okay, there is power of knowing. But power of knowing, you understand. You ultimately arrive at the light alone, you talk about the power of illumining. Because it is something abstract. You know, you use this world of opaque objects and, you know, as a manifesting medium. And there you see the light being manifest. Because the manifesting medium helps you to recognize the manifest light. Okay. And through that manifest light, you understand. You talk about the power of illumination.
Yeah.
And then the power of illumination, and you arrive at the actual light, sunlight. And you then, this power of illumining is a thing with the sun. You arrive at, once you arrive at the sun, then you just resolve it. Resolve it. Resolving, cognitively resolve the power in that and leave it. You arrive at it, what you need to arrive at it. Okay, but then you talk about, oh my God, it is the light which is with always illumining power means that you can talk, you need to talk only from the standpoint of the world of opaque things. Otherwise, you can say even after that, no, light is always illumining power, you can say nothing wrong. But really speaking, the light is means light with its illumining power is. So you don't need to say, that is just the light. Light. You don't talk about whether it's a sargunam or nirgunam. Just the light. From the standpoint of the light, light is. There is neither nirgunam nor sargunam, and just the light is. You all talk about all these things when? Only to arrive at it. Hope I made it clear. I have not made it clear at all. Or it is not acceptable for you, what I'm saying. It's again how we see it, isn't it?
Yeah,
the purpose, see, don't forget. No, 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 what Peter Jay, I tell you.
Back to your whole thing about what the fundamental problem. You know, in talking about the fundamental problem, in talking about the fundamental problem of identity, the concept of nirguna is completely useless. Is what, that's what I'm saying. You have to resolve it into, you have to account for body-mind-sense complex, in which case you have to talk about Shakti, you have to talk about Maya as though...
Peter J. Yusuf, there, what is I, if you analyze the I, okay? Yeah. Like how when you say water is H2O, what is hydrogen, what is oxygen, you analyze and see. You say, oh, this is what is, isn't it? Understanding what hydrogen is, what oxygen is, resolving the water in that. Now, similarly, you're analyzing what is I is, isn't it? This vritti, just the vritti comes and goes. It is in, isn't it? And that vritti by itself cannot become I. In that vritti, you know, at that very I sense, that knowledge is I, isn't it? What is that knowledge? I am is knowledge. First of all, I am is just the knowledge. Vritti jnanam. I am, aham, is a vritti jnanam. Vritti jnanam is distinct from all the other objects of vritti jnanam. Body is an object of vritti jnanam. Other thoughts, every thought is object of vritti jnanam. Object of vritti jnanam, isn't it? And this particular vritti aham is what? No, vritti jnanam. The vritti jnana means, isn't it? And which is completely distinct. And the vritti aham, that vritti jnanam, when it is there, there is vritti jnanam of everything else. Therefore, the knower state is attributed to the vritti jnanam. Isn't it? Again, is knower, vritti jnanam, aham also. What is this? We analyze. The vritti just comes and goes. That is the nature of the vritti, isn't it? As no, when the vritti goes, what happens? The vritti by itself doesn't become the vritti jnanam. There can't be jnanam without vritti also, isn't it? Therefore, we say manifesting mediums are fine. What is that manifest consciousness? Does it come and go? No, the consciousness does not come, does not go. The vritti alone which comes and goes. When the vritti comes, there is ahamasmi jnanam. When the vritti resolves, ahamasmi jnanam is not there. Isn't it? So this understand this aham jnanam is that actually speaking, and what does not come and go, you identify. Actually, the surupam of the aham, the vritti jnanam, the truth of the vritti jnanam is actually the surupa jnanam. Truth of the vritti jnanam is surupam. Surupa jnanam is consciousness. Isn't it? You see, now the question comes, the truth of this mic is light. If we say, isn't it? Why do you say truth of the mic is light?
In the absence of light, the mic is as good as non-existent.
Yeah. Now, the non-recognizable light, isn't it? Becomes recognizable in the presence of the light because it's manifest. The manifest light is recognizable. Isn't it? Therefore, aham, when you say, our interest is, Pitaji, what this I am is. I am is a vritti jnanam which obtained as part of the individual, without which very individuality is not possible, because of which very individual is possible. That is distinct from the very, all the aspects of individual. All other aspects constitute the individual. Isn't it? And the only way Shastram tells you, you analyze this, what this I am is, then you understood the truth of I am. If you understand the truth of every thought is as good as understood, the truth of every prana is understood, the truth of sense powers are understood, the truth of the entire body becomes understood. Because there is no way of arriving at the truth of body mind sense complex without having arrived at the truth of the aham. That is what Shastram teaches, because that is subtlest of the, if that is there, if this all is there. If aham is not there, this cannot be there. That is the order of the creation, isn't it? Therefore, instead of asking all these things, just go straight to it. If you analyze anything from here, it becomes what now? It is enquiry into the nature of the, within the realm of the, enquiry within the realm of the material only, matter only, not the truth of the matter. Isn't all the sciences, what happens to cell and what happens to this and all, that's also nice, that's also science. That's also enquiry, that's also knowledge. We're not denying it. That enquiry becomes enquiry within the realm of the ignorance only, the matter only, isn't it? But when you go to, ignorance means, the matter. Where you need to arrive at the very truth of the existence of the matter. Existence, what is the existence here? Listen, what is the existence here? Then you go, that is why the scripture teaches you, come on, ask this, what is the truth of the I? What is this I? Can there be I, the expression of the word I, without the expression of, without having the thought I must, there must be vritti. Aham vritti must be there. Isn't it? Vritti jnanam.
But what is the vritti? What is the vritti?
See, vritti is a subtle manifestation of matter.
Of maya.
Matter, I said. Don't talk about this maya here, Rajaraniji.
Look.
Matter. Completely, I'm saying different.
What is the matter then? What is matter in that case?
Matter, we say, matter is manifestation of power of consciousness.
Yeah.
We never give matter an independent status at all. Matter is a manifestation of power of consciousness.
See, to understand the harm, which is a vritti jnana, one has to understand what vritti is. And you're telling me now that vritti is matter, and matter is...
Subtlest manifestation of matter is vritti. Okay? But you never say... Any manifestation of matter is looked upon as the manifestation of power of consciousness. Why? Because without the manifestation of power of consciousness, there's no such thing called the manifestation of matter. No, why? Why? Because this matter, without the manifestation of consciousness, the matter cannot even have the status of existence, Satyaji. The existent.
Okay.
Therefore, we always say, any form of manifestation of matter is always looked upon as the manifestation of power of consciousness.
Okay. So it's an immediate derivative of maya. Put it like that. Is that fair enough?
Manifestation of maya, you can say.
Okay.
Maya manifest is, in fact, my manifestation of the matter energy.
Maya manifests as matter. And you've already said in the past, maya is the subtlest form of...
No, subtle...
Unmanifest.
Why I say, Pitaji, this matter has never independent existence. Okay? That is why when the maya, see, the power of consciousness is unmanifest.
Maya.
Okay? Okay, unmanifest. There is no matter at all. Matter is as good as non-existent. It's like power of illumining. Okay? power of illumining is not manifest, then there is no such thing called opaque thing at all.
Can we just go into this a bit more slowly? This is something that's bothered me for a long time. What exactly is matter? Because if we can talk about where emotion...
That is what is, Tharadnaji, the problem is, all of scientists, the materialists, talk about matter as a parallel independent reality.
Yes.
Okay, but what we deny, this the very matter can be discussed only when there is manifestation of consciousness.
Fine.
Understand? Because the existence of matter itself is because of the manifestation of consciousness.
Okay. But what I want to get at is, how is it if all that is here is consciousness, how exactly does consciousness somehow appear to manifest as matter? However subtly.
All that is here is consciousness. When we say, Radhaji, when you say the matter is only manifestation of power of consciousness, okay? There's no such thing called matter, which exists independently. Therefore, if we do not count it a second thing, therefore we say it's a mithya.
Okay?
The mithya, another order of the only reality, the consciousness, we say. That is why advaitam we say, not two, we say. But the problem is, we have to understand, the very question of what this matter is.
I want to know how. It's not so much the knowing what matter is. I want to know how. That's what interests me.
What ka how?
How this featureless consciousness manifests as anything. Call it matter, call it what you want.
That is what you have to understand, the order. That is what we talk about the... No. There is an order. There is an order involved. Okay, there is a concept. That is why we never question this. How it comes into... Again, a constantly, continuously, the beginningless, endless cycle of these matter becoming manifest and becoming unmanifest and becoming unmanifest and becoming unmanifest. It happens. Okay? And this matter, with the manifest matter, or whether it's unmanifest also, there's no existence outside of consciousness.
Right.
That's what we say. Out of consciousness means outside of the power of consciousness. Okay? And we talk about, in fact, we say this consciousness also. Okay, without, suppose there's no such thing called matter at all. Okay? The consciousness will be as good as non-existent, really speaking. Why? Because it is not recognized. Then if there is no matter at all, Radhaji, okay, there can't be manifestation of consciousness, then there won't be discussion.
Of course.
We are talking about the problem is when you discuss, isn't it?
Yeah.
The very discussion is possible because you are sitting here, I am sitting here, he is sitting here, all of us are sitting here. Because of this order of Ishvara which keeps going, which is happening.
Okay.
The whole order is Ishvara.
My question, by the way, earlier you were talking about the root problem being one of inadequacy. If I had to understand the root of that root problem of inadequacy, I need to understand the transition from pure consciousness to a degree, the first degree of manifestation. Because
knowledge I am itself, Radhaji. You can't ask why there is I am. Is the order.
I'm not asking why. I'm asking how does this transition occur?
Is a beginningless thing. It's a beginningless thing. There is I am, okay, and there is error in perception, and there are problems caused by this error in perception, okay. There is ignorance, ajnanam. This is the manifestation itself, only half. That is a beginningless.
The manifestation is only half.
No, half, Mihadniji. Only knowledge is only highest. Form of manifestation of knowledge is only this much. I am. Highest form of manifestation of knowledge is only this much. I am. If this knowledge, who I am, also is manifest, then there cannot be jagat. There can't be any experience. There can't be individuality. There can't be. Okay. That knowledge cannot become manifest. That is for you to work on it, isn't it? The highest form of manifestation is the knowledge I am. Okay? There is only half. And that half has been there only in human being, isn't it? There were other animals that don't have the problem. The half being there, and if you can't ask, which is the first human birth, you can't ask. Which is my first birth? When did this, first...
I'm telling,
that's why how means what? I had to answer the for the how, actually, all these things. If you ask me how, there is this knowledge, and because of which there's half ajnanam, and because of this perception, and because of which all these problems come, and because of which karma, okay, ignorance leads to what? Ignorance leads to adhyasa. Adhyasa leads to adhyarupa. Adhyarupa leads to sense of inadequacy, wrong notion. Wrong results in sense of inadequacy because of which desire. And desire impulse what now? Actually, we are going to see in Mandukya class, actually tomorrow, in the next class, Mandukya, the 16th, which I introduced, sorry, I had not explained there Shankara presents the Srishti. And there he says, in fact, in Mandukya, he says, Gopacharya presents the Srishti. In the Srishti, there is no order. Please understand, in creation, there is no order. This is my next class lesson in Mandukya. 16th mantra I have to introduce like that. There is no order in creation because it is a cyclic process. There's no order means, now which came first? You cannot question. Did consciousness come first or matter come first? Are they two? Are they one? No, they're not one. Are they two? No. How do you say are they not two? How much you have to listen to. Understand? Okay, next question comes. Next question lies like that. Which came first? There are only two things, experiencer and the experienced. Experienced world universe. Bhokta, bhoktru, bhogya prapancha. Experiencer and the experienced. Who came first? Did the experiencer come first or the experienced universe came first? Understand?
Yeah.
And then, whether the will came first or the fate came first? Which is the first? So, all these questions, if we try to answer, will lead to logical entanglement. Isn't it? So, there is no order in creation. And therefore, it's a cyclic process. But, to arrive at the truth of the universe, understand? And we are presenting this the Srishti topic. And there, when we discussion, in our discussion on this topic of the Srishti, and we can talk about the, we have to begin with some aspect. Some aspect of the Srishti has to be, we have to begin our discussion on Srishti, there's no order. But here there's an order in discussing the Srishti. Understand now? In discussion, when we talk about the Srishti, we have an order. There's a Srishti, order in Srishti itself.
Sorry, did you just say there is no order in Srishti itself?
Huh?
Did you just say there's no order in Srishti itself?
No, order means energy. This comes first, this comes later.
In that sense. Okay.
Okay. Okay, one thing, in a discussion, we have to begin with one aspect.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means there's no beginning or end.
Okay. Yeah.
We cannot talk about the beginning and the end of Srishti. The cyclic process, isn't it? In a cycle, you can't talk to the beginning point, end point. But in discussion on Srishti, which is a cyclic process, the beginningless, endless cyclic process of Srishti, when we discuss about it, we have to start with some aspect, the beginning aspect. Then the Shastram always presents Jiva first. It talks about the Jiva first. That's why Shastram presents the Jiva first. Because you have, when you build a house strategy and you are sitting outside, you will ask, I build the house, isn't it? I build the house for me to live. And so I won't talk about the house first, you will never say. the house is built. We cannot talk about the house first. I talk about the person who wants to live in the house first. Understand? Similarly, only as a jiva means experiencer. Without the jiva, there is no experiencer. The experiencer must be discussed first. Only the, without the experiencer, there cannot be experience. There cannot be the experienced also. The whatever is experienced, the experienceable may be there. The experienceable cannot have the status of being the experienced without the experience, which is not possible without the experiencer. Understand? Well, who should be discussed first? Understand? So, Shastram always starts with the experiencer. Take this universe as the constitution of experiencer and the experienced. Bhoktru Bhogya Prapancha. Now talk about the Bhokta first. Then you talk about the Bhogyam. You know, see, that's what the Mandukya 16th verse, that's why Purvam Jivam, now it projected the Atma, projected the Jiva first. So much discussion in Mandukya will be, this Vaititha Prakaranam will make it very clear, a lot of things, really. It will make really very clear. So Jiva projected first. And afterwards, it leaves, that's all. It projected the Jiva, then Jiva takes care of the rest of, the rest is created by the Jiva. How it is projected? Because the Jiva is manifest. What is this? Highest form of manifestation of knowledge. There is half knowledge. It's not total knowledge, isn't it? There can't be. Then because of which, then Adhyasa, Ajnana, all these things come. Ajnanam, Adhyasa, Adhyaropa. Then how he is going to present? No? Then the Jiva comes. See, I talk about Mandukya, which I'm going to talk on next Saturday. The Jiva comes. When the Jiva comes, what does the Jiva do? Manifest consciousness is Jiva. Manifest consciousness means, it means obtaining in a manifesting medium. After given individual body mind is complex, isn't it? And he experiences the world through senses. Looks around, all over. Ah, that is here, this is here, this is here. Everything he sees, as experiences. And experience perceives everything, and has experience. Then what now? Accumulates jnanam. Accumulates the knowledge, perceptual knowledge. Knowledge based on the perception and experience. So, jivaha comes, jayate, then pashyati, means perceives, then janati, knows, then what happens? And whatever he knows, and he also remembers, I ate bitter gourd, it is bitter in taste. I ate sugar cane, it was sweet in taste. So, it remembers. It collects the knowledge, is it? Then it stores the knowledge. Storing the knowledge, not simply knowing, isn't it? Experiences, knows, then stores. The storing is called what now? Smarati. Pashyati, Janati, Smarati. Remembers. And remembers, therefore what happens now? Next time, isn't it? Remembers. Then in keeping with the knowledge, there is a memory. Memory is what? No, memory of objects. In keeping with the knowledge. And then what happens? Sugar cane, sweet, ichchati. Ichchati, likes to eat. A bitter gourd, desires to keep away. See, that actually that he presents it, no? He says, the discussion on Srishti has the beginning. Begins with the given aspect of Srishti. So begins with the Jiva. Understand? Because always we had to talk about, because the house is built for the person who dwells in the house. Therefore, we have to talk about the person who is going to dwell in the house, then we have to talk about the house also. So similarly here it begins with the jiva, because jiva is the experiencer. Without the jiva there is no experiencer. And then how jiva, when the jiva is projected, how jiva creates the rest of the universe, how the world is created by jiva. Look at this, it said. So jiva, when it comes into existence, it experiences. It's only half knowledge already, experiences and gathers information, knowledge. Then remembers also, second time when he sees this bitter gourd, desire to go after sugar cane, desire to get away from bitter gourd because it is bitter. How? Purva anubhava is there, previous experience is there, previous knowledge is there, that memory of that knowledge, what he knows is there, smarati, therefore iccha. Now, look at this, pashyati, janati, smarati, and next is what? Icchati. Icchati, iccha, desire comes. Desire for what? Desire for eating, desire for rejecting. Enjoying and rejecting. Owning and rejecting. Icchati. Once iccha comes, then any iccha results in what? Karoti, karma karoti. Desire comes, then action comes. He performs action, isn't it? Even to eat bitter gourd, I had to work for it. To get rid of something I don't like, also I had to work for it. Isn't it? And in fulfilling my desire, what happens? How I do the action? Well, my actions are conformity with dharma or not? If there is knowledge of dharma as a human being, but there may be or may not be knowledge of the value of dharma. In keeping with the knowledge of the value of dharma, and keeping with the ignorance of the value of dharma, one's actions are governed by one's knowledge of dharma. So what happens then? One may do right action or wrong action. So in keeping with the karma, there will be what now? Phalam. What is the phalam? Punya papa. Once you punyam and papam you have, because the punyam and papam have their own time for fructification, to fructify. Therefore, even before the unfructified fruits had to be fructified, they will not. That is why the death is, there is no such thing called death for good, isn't it? And then the parma, that palam again, punarjanma. Once the punarjanma comes, once you again, isn't it? So, there the mantra says, yatha vidyaha tatha smritihi. In keeping with one's knowledge, there's one's smritihi. We have to supply so many things. Yatha vidya, yatha jnanam, tatha smaranam, yatha smaranam, tatha iccha. Yatha iccha, tatha karma. Yatha karma tatha palam and yatha palam. In keeping with the punya papas we have, tatha punar janma, shariram. Whether this fellow requires, needs to be, whether it's a human body or some celestial body or any crawling body, jumping body, and the deha also determined by whom, Radhniji? The order, isn't it? That's why man is the creator of his own destiny, means this is what you have to understand. Therefore, will comes first or destiny comes later. Here also you have to what now? Will comes first. Because will you have to use to do the karma, and later on, in keeping with the karma, what is determined by the order becomes the destiny, the fate. Fate, all the people put the blame on, no? No, even to use my will, I have to my destiny. Am I destiny? I use my abuse my will. No, that's not true. It's clear, whatever it is. Then, this karma. And again, what happens now? Again, you are born. Janma is determined in keeping with pura punya papa, your new birth. Once you are born, again, what happens? Pashyati, janati, smarati, icchati, karma karoti, punyam sampadayati. Again, punya papa, punaha janma. The agami is not completed. Agami sees that somehow you come back, and to finish it, you come back. You continue again and again, again, again. This is how it is. Why prithak bhavan. Now it says prithak bhavan means what now? All varieties of the external world of objects. In world of objects also what now? You know, it creates, projects. Then even internal, the adhyatmikana cha eva, you know, kalpayate. The internal also you project, the atma projects. Everything atma projects. Internal also projects how? Having projected the jiva, then through jiva, it projects the whole thing. And adhyatmika means even the inner personality strategy, the mental makeup, the intellectual sharpness, or emotional stability or instability, emotional problems, the intellectual sharpness, inclinations, the things which you are interested in, inclinations, avasanas, you know, the whole the personality is also what now? In keeping your karma, isn't it? It also adhyatmikan chaiva bahyanacha. Pratyak bhavan, varieties of things, having projected the jiva, atma creates. Does atma create? No. Who creates then? Atma. Creator is atma, you have to say that, isn't it? So this is how the 16th mantra onwards in Mandukya Upanishad, this is going to be discussed. Actually, by the time we finish Vaishitya Prakaranam, many things will become very clear. That is why we had to go in a thing which we should. That is why we never take something in between and discuss. You go systematically following the text. The text will take care of all your doubts and it will resolve. And this, because of when we keep away from the teaching also, the constant. See, this almost even before when I was here, lots of problems we had. So we didn't have proper classes, even in October and all. October also we didn't have proper class energy. I was really, even though I'm a very strong person, I was not mentally steady enough to do the classes properly because of lots of things, situations I had to face here. In the whole of October, no class, no November, no December, no January, no February. 5 months we were completely away from the touch from each other. There's no proper classes I've been not going in. And in the meanwhile, and we are exposed to so many other things also. Even though we are committed to Shastram, and then we do read us all the things and the things, people have their own, they say their own things, and we get lots of confusions will come, because there's no systematic study, isn't it? Notes will come. And then we do talk about Sagunam Brahma, Nirgunam Brahma, Brahma, Ishvara, you know. Ishvara is only a state is attributed to Brahma, from the standpoint of the Jagat. Because there cannot be this Jagat without the power of, manifestation of power of consciousness, the reality. Isn't it? Therefore, we attribute the status to Ishvara. Ishvara is Brahma. There's no Ishvara other than Brahma. But from Brahman's standpoint, Brahman is not Ishvara, not the Jiva as well. There's no Jiva other than Brahma. There's no Ishvara other than Brahma.
The question is, this Vedanta is so, so logical, wonderfully logical, and yet I can also come across things like power of mantras in chant. I come across things like the power of the mantra in chant. There seems to be a complete split between the two. There seems to be this massive, massive gap in my perception between this ultra-logical
unfoldment, logical unfoldment.
And then this weird stuff about powers of mantras.
No, no.
Strange.
There's no orgy. No. See, people really exaggerate a lot about mantras. Powerful, powerful means what? Big powerful. If you do anything orgy with the Shraddha, it is more. See, the Chandi. Actually, not the Chandi. anything, for example, the certain things which were meant for chanting, Vedamanta, so many other Vedamantas are there. Chandi is not actually, it's only Purana, isn't it? There are Vedamantras. And then, those mantras, nothing, just the prayer, they're all prayers. They're prayers, Arniji. And sometimes the prayers, and sometimes the mantras really reveal the glories of the power. How glorious the power is, power of the Lord is. So, see, talk, really, actually, discussing the glories of the power is in fact discussing the glory of the powerful, isn't it? Discussing the glories of the power is in fact discussing the glories of the powerful, Ishvara. And talking about the glories itself, in fact, initially, it helps to thin a person's ahankara. It is impossible for us to talk the glories of anybody else apart from me, other than me. And when you do put it as Ishvara, it's something's okay, isn't it? We talk about means somewhere you see yourself being small. In a sense, and then there's a surrender comes. So that becomes a sort of a worship, as a worship. As a worship, it is effective. It's a karma. Glorifying the Lord, glorification of Lord, is in fact a form of worship, which is a will-involved action. Then you don't simply mechanically, you don't know the glories really. Somebody really who understood the glories, they have revealed it. So you repeat that, because you have not understood Ishvara. Without having understood Ishvara, how can you know the glories, how glorious Ishvara is? So without knowing the, having understood the glories, when you praise, really glorify the Lord, it is a flattery, it is not real praise. Understand? Even though it is a flattery, but still it's a karma. Somebody else who has revealed those glories is that they have some vision, understanding. Therefore, the same effect will be there when you glorify also. Same effect means what? What? Because the intention of the person who has glorified the Lord, that intention is here also will be there when you repeat it. Intention, it is good intention of the person who has done it already. It was rishis and mahatmas. Understand? So when you praise, you glorify the Lord, reciting or chanting those verses, it is a proper form of worship. One of the forms of worship. Doesn't matter which form you worship, in which form you worship. I'm not talking about the form of the Lord, I'm talking about the in form of worship. It can be in the form of glorification of the Lord through reciting or chanting or singing. Isn't it? It's a form of worship. So there's a worship also, and mainly, and when you glorify, oh, you are the bestower of food, you are the bestower of clothes, you are the bestower of that, you are the bestower of this, means what? It's a glorification. At the same time, I remind you what? Thanks. Without you, I cannot survive. Thank you very much. So thanks is implied. Therefore, it's a will-involved, thoughtful, okay, recognition, act of recognition of Bhagavan's support for our life. Therefore, worship is, that's why it becomes a worship. Understand? People say, powerful, powerful, they don't understand anything. Nothing, what a big powerful. Very big, we mean it, what we say that. But for Bhagavan, we cannot survive. Isn't it? That's what genuine appreciation of the contribution of Bhagavan of Devatas. We ate in the morning. Pitta bread, I don't even know who grew that wheat somewhere. And who made that bread. And who brought it here. And I ate it this morning.
I did.
Ah. No. What I'm saying, Pitaji. Sorry, Rodniji. This is somehow, see, so much is involved, isn't it? I don't even know. Without any effort, I got it, means just Bhagavan's grace, isn't it? So just, it is such a small thing, example I'm giving. This is why I'm saying, in this mantra, when you chant the mantras, Arnaji, mantras are thoughtfully expressed glorifications of the Lord. No? And which is will-involved action. And so, there is a expression of gratitude. Implicitly, your gratitude is expressed to Bhagavan. Whether you know that, oh, by doing this, I really express my gratitude to Bhagavan, whether you know or not, the people who did it before you, the intention is the expression of gratitude. Therefore, you also, just by copying them, you also become unknown. You also have expressed your gratitude. So that's why it's a karma, highly, highly effective karma that is. It will not fail. It is effective. Oh, I didn't say anything. I've done 9, 10 days. Nothing I knew. You may not know now. It produced adrishtam. You really do not know what it has produced. How do I believe it? Okay. That is why we teach them, okay, karma. It's a karma phalam. And sometimes these mantras, there also prayer also is involved. They also express your prayers. And prayer also, what you pray for, whether you know or you do not know. If you know very good, well and good, you know what you pray for. You pray for means, if you know what you're praying for, you know the value of what you are praying for. Which means, if you know the value, I mean, you're so desperate about getting it. Isn't it? If you do not know the value of what you pray for also, you are praying for something, isn't it? Not knowing what you're praying for, but somebody who has already used the mantra, knows the value of what the prayer is for, what is prayed for. Therefore, the prayer is again efficacious karma. Understand? And second thing, this mind all the time wanders all over. Now, so many things of the world experiences distract us and really disturb us. So much disturbs us. And we're so restless and agitated. And then our mind is completely, sometimes agitated, strategy, small things, a small jealousy, a small hatred, a small sense of smallness. Always a smallness is triggered by other person's doing something. Something, a small disturbance in the mind can completely take him away from the sublime thinking. There's a good personality, good side of the person. All the goodness is completely, you know, covered by such a small thing, isn't it? There's no way of overlooking the small mistake and then seeing all good thing that the person does. No, you can't do that. We only hold on to such as something small and leave everything the good the person has done. The small things are possible, not that knowingly or unknowingly. The other person might have done intentionally, unknowingly or unknowingly. The person might have done something wrong, isn't it? There's so many good things about the person. No human being is a purushottama. Every human being is a mixture of punya papa, so they'll be both right and wrong. Only Bhagavan is a Purushottama. Human being means there'll be some mistakes in every part of every individual, I tell you. Something which I know don't like with other people, and other people may not like with certain things. So I don't care what. Because I do accept it. I accept it. That's why I have no problem with anybody. Listen. Now, what I want to say here, these things I'm giving you as part of my teaching here. This mantra chanting, whether we know or not, it's a worship, it's also prayer. Understand? People always, they don't separate worship and prayer. The worship means it's a prayer, they think. Isn't it? People, generally, in the mind, people always think. Because we had to show that in worship, there is expression of gratitude to Bhagavan. At the same time, there is a prayer, intense, fervent prayer, for what we really require to live this life, to make this life meaningful also. That is why mantras are powerful means. And such a mind, okay, mind is very, very difficult mind. In spite of being exposed to the Shastra, study and listening and all those things, Prasanji, mind is very bad. And without the prayer and worship, mere Shastra study really makes a person arrogant. You know that? It's not really good. Because it needs to go simultaneously until jnanam. That's why everything must be there. So when we do these prayers and things, and the mantras are very effective, people do not understand these simple logical explanation of these things. They can only say, highly powerful, very powerful. Very powerful means what? What can it do? Nothing. Unless you are interested in some mystic experiences. Okay? And people, if they are crazy about getting mystic experiences, because of by tapas they get some mystic experience also. Oh, it's all very powerful. What? It's all Rataji. Powerful means always understand any stotram, recitation of any simple stotram, recitation of any, chanting of any mantra is effective. Okay? The effectiveness is said to be powerful. People always talk very highly of it. And if you are so crazy, if you can sit and do that one mantra again and 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 do, you may be blessed with some siddhis. Chandi part not only 9 times, do 3 to 4 times a day without getting up. It is effective.
I don't question any of that at all. I should have made myself a bit clearer. I mean, I don't mean mantras in the sense of...
No, I'm just saying, this is what, and then Rataji, again law of karma being Ishvara, and the law of karma itself is looked upon as manifestation of the any law, any order, which is Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara, isn't it? Because Ishvara means manifestation of power, of knowledge. Understand? This law and order always what now? Manifestation of Ishvara. Therefore, when you say it's Ishvara Rataji, the law and order is Ishvara, when you say, there is no big gap at all. That's what I want to say. That's what your question is. Here everything is logically explained. And the pantras are powerful, they say. What it is, we're seeing big gap between the two. There's no gap, Rataji. You see, if you understand Ishvara's law and order, there's one thing. We never ever forget. Anything which exists within the realm of law, any law and orders exist within the realm of knowledge. The manifest knowledge. And the law and order which is manifest is manifestation of law knowledge, which is Ishvara. Knowledge manifest is Ishvara, Adniji. That's all I tell you. Knowledge manifest is Ishvara. Knowledge unmanifest is Brahma. I don't know if unmanifest is pure.
Well, that's fine. I think I was trying to get at, really.
Okay, now I have talked whatever I want to talk. You just come back. Let me come back to saying what you make me understand clearly what you want to ask first.
There was this business of the simple everyday sensible logic of Vedanta, and then there was the weirdness of a sound which is supposedly creative. That is a gap I can't bridge. That's like
sound.
I mentioned Chandipatra as examples of it. This page after page of mantras. Mm. Not the mantras of the text, but the mantras like cream, cleam, etc., which are towards the end of the book. There they're given as, for want of a better expression, mystical sounds, whether that means anything or not is another matter, but there is a whole realm of activity which involves that kind of stuff and points to a power to manifest something, which seems to be completely at odds with what Vedanta is talking about.
It's all tantra, isn't it?
No. Actually, Rataji, I tell you one thing.
I don't know whether I should pay any kind of attention to it. I'm not even interested in it, really. But why is Vedanta getting involved? Because
Let me tell you. Vedanta is not involved in all those things. See, the Bija Mantras, Rataji, the Bija Mantras, actually, they are again actually abbreviation of certain words which imply the certain natural phenomena, natural powers. Suppose there's given power. because of which the rains come. So we say that particular, the whole natural phenomenon as a devata, varuna devata. And we say varuna devata means there's no varuna other than this is a phenomenon. And then every natural phenomenon is actually manifestation of knowledge, or illumination of consciousness, we say. Manifestation of knowledge. Every phenomenon is a given manifestation of knowledge. That is why we call it devata. Devata means manifestation of knowledge. That's another thing. A given manifestation of knowledge, not the total manifestation. A particular devata, a particular phenomenon is called devata because it's a manifestation of particular manifestation, isn't it? So this devata, actually in Puranas they personify, lead Puranas. And we also have certain mantras. I mean, instead of having long terms, the certain small, brief syllables we use, in order to invoke the grace of those particular devatas. Suppose I want rain. We were now in Coimbatore. I taught people this Varna Japa. Because there's no water energy, rains are not there, farmers are suffering. So I taught all the children Tamil song, all the elders Sanskrit mantras I taught. Omkaranda gave one small mantra, then I just taught everybody. Before I came. So then if you ask, suppose there's a particular the Bija mantras, which are timelessly there in the as part of the Veda, the Karmakanda aspect. See, for us to live the life strategy, this is because Samashti Parabdha. No, so we are dipped of some problem. We have some problem. Now this is water scarcity. And how are we going to tackle? People are doing lots of things. Whatever the government is doing, people are doing, scientists are doing. Apart from that, apart from the efforts, we need the grace. And some papa karma, it is happening. But we had to somehow get rid of that problem, isn't it? And when such problems come, we believe in the power of prayer. Power means prayer is efficacious. Therefore, we pray. And for which we invoke the grace of a given devata. See, when we all of us together focus on one given problem, isn't it? And all of us together pray. All our thoughts are, but we need water now. We want water. That is our prayer. Water, water, water. All of us together, simultaneously, unanimously, uniformly, when we focus on given thing, given need of the society. And we chant these mantras. Okay? It's only Veda presents the mantras. Okay? And we invoke the grace. And when we do that as a karma palam, it's a group thing, definitely the invocation of the mantra, the devata, by chanting the given particular bija mantra, it is effective. It helps us. It is for us, the karma palam is not moksha. But we need to tackle that, isn't it? We cannot survive otherwise without water. Only if we survive, we can think of attaining jnanam and moksha. Ultimately, moksha is the end. But temporarily, even for us to serve, to accomplish that end, you need to make this life possible. And we can't suffer, isn't it? When you're suffering means you are not enjoying these pleasures, nor are you going to achieve anything big there. Therefore, somehow, you desperately need it to live the life, and you have to seek Bhagavan's grace. Based on this law of karma, there's a prayer. There is a karma, and not only that mantra chanting, we also perform rituals also. The havan also we perform, along with the chanting of the particular mantras. So for every given devata, there is a bija mantra. It's completely, mantra shastra is completely different, Rajniji. Mantra shastra is not going to give you moksha, definitely. It is not going to give you jnanam. But such mantra chanting, etc., also will contribute for mental preparation. Because through the chanting of those mantras also, somehow you remain connected with Bhagavan. Bhagavan in some form, isn't it? It can be given specific devata, but still it is good. So people, karma kanda prescribes for artha kama sarvaniji. We need that artha. In the form of security, we need water, isn't it? So they're all useful. But that doesn't mean that it's going to give you moksha, definitely not. That is why if you are a mumukshu, if you are a jignyasu, then you don't need to worry about, don't need to question whether they're effective or not, they're useful or not, why Veda is interested in presenting all those things or not. It's the Veda, Karmakanda. Veda, Antashastra, you just focus only on what you want, be clear. The end must be clear and the means must be clear. Then do that. That is why people always come, they want moksha, but they do japa of these mantras. We should know the relevance. We are studying Upanishads, Gita, for, as our shravanam, we are doing it for, to prepare ourselves for mananam. And we are sparing our precious time to do shravanam, later on, in order to prepare us for mananam, later on to do nanidhyasanam, thereby ultimately aiming at jnanam, which is moksha. We are in the process of now shravanam only, not even mananam. Okay? We can say shravanam and mananam, but definitely not at nididhyasanam. Understand? So I am very clear. I know very clear. That does not mean, suppose in between I teach some mantras, come on, let us do some prayers. I do means, my intention is, it generally Ishvara is invoked here, not only particular Devata, Chandi, Asasanamam, or Purusha Sukta, Madhurga Sukta, all these things we chant mainly. And any prayer, the prayer is for moksha and jnana, whether people know it or not. Relatively, it is for what we need to live this life. So, and then when we have lots of obstacles here, and all of us come with our own background, our own baggage, our own parabdha, our own family situations. And this affects, when a person comes with one's own some disturbed mind, that disturbance, somehow or other, it gets expressed. One being disturbed is expressed somehow in his behavior, and which unintentionally or intentionally affects other person, thereby it lots of color commotions. So for something to keep going, go on properly, I just thought let us do some chandi part. No, what I'm saying, Radhanji, so it's all in between, we need such prayers and things, isn't it?
I fully accept the value of prayer and worship. It's made a transforming difference in my life too. Mm. It's just that I don't understand what is going on. That's really my quandary. It seems so different from the simple logicality of Vedanta, and that then this completely different world of prayer, worship, japa. I just cannot.
No. Vedanta is for the one, Radhaji, for the prepared mind. Aru rudasya Vedanta. Aru rukshuhu, the prayer and worship, everything. Okay. One who wants to still become prepared for that. Okay. Along with the desire for jnanam, One who still needs to prepare his mind for jnanam, for him prayer and worship are very, very important. Understand? That is why it is the Veda. It is not Veda Anta. It is the whole, that is why two different shastrams. Veda is a pravrityatmakam shastram. Veda Anta is nivrityatmakam shastram. Anubandha Chatushtayams of both are completely different. That is different. Anubandha Chatushtayam of karma kanda is different. Anubandha Chatushtayam of jnana kanda is different. Adhikaris are different. Prayojanam is different. And palam is different. Sambandha is different also. There is sambandha, no? I do the karma because I want the karma palam, isn't it? Then the palam is different. For this palam, this karma. That is a sambandha. Here, for this palam, this karma. This means this is sambandha is different. So anubandha chatushtayam is different. Understand what I'm saying? And there are two different shastrams in one text because one is complementary for the other. The previous one is complementary for the other. Therefore, they're put together. Even though they're two different shastrams, which means one has to precede, one has to follow. Only then the whole thing will serve a purpose. That is where they are very different. But that does not mean what happened, Arnaji, the one the people have some fallen out of the very concept of Ishvara. See, without having had the proper understanding of the concept of Ishvara, and having come in a given religious background, and having been given to certain religious practices, and having lost interest, and having given up that completely, and not seeing any, because there the concept of Lord is different before. In a given cultural background, the concept of Lord is completely illogical, isn't it? And therefore the worship and prayer, everything, really you cannot see the meaning of it. Therefore, lost interest. And now completely different concept of Ishvara. Now in that we emphasize this.